is the warranty.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You open your Bibles to James in chapter 1. James chapter 1 will be our text this morning. I only have 3 pages of notes, not to worry. It's all large print, so you'll be all right. So, I do want to give a shout out to the brethren in Poland. Do want to remember Jadwiga. She lays in a hospital with corona. We do want to pray for her. So if you'll bear with me, I want to give a greetings in Poland, in Polish, because they are tuning in today. So I want to speak to them in Polish. That's in cyberspace. All those millions of people around the world listening to us. So I want to greet some of them in the Polish language. So we want to say pozdrowienie od nas Amerykanów tutaj. Chcieliśmy dziękować wam za modlitwę i cieszę się, że mamy okazję głosić wam Ewangelię Słowo Boże dzisiaj. So I basically said we want to greet you, we Americans want to greet you, Polish brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thankful that we have an opportunity to preach the gospel to you. So there was the interpretation. Probably should have been another interpreter, but we had to improvise. So James chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading in verse 21, where it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity to meet in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to open up the Word of God and to minister the Word of God to the hearts of all those in our presence and all those in cyberspace as well. We want to extend the Word of God as far as it will go. We also pray for Jadwiga. We pray that others for Destiny and others that are in the hospital and are afflicted with ailments. We think of John Northrup and his beloved wife, Mary. We pray that you would have mercy upon them. Bless this word now. If there's anyone that's not saved, may they come to know you as their Savior. If there be any discouraged Christian, may they be encouraged this morning upon the hearing of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, normally this text would bring opportunity to speak about the Word of God, which is dear to my heart. It's a subject that I've dealt with for over 40 years, and that would be a great opportunity because we are saved by the engrafted word, and it says here, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, and that would be an important topic to address this morning because the word of God planted in our hearts begins to grow, and it brings us life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come through sprinkling or baptism or a sacrament or water. Faith comes from the hearing of the Word of God. The Word of God is so important. But what I would like to focus on this morning, if you permit me, is just a little phrase that jumped out to me that's so true in our lives and it impedes us in our service to the Lord. But it just jumped out to me as I read this text, and we'll find that little phrase here in verse 22 where he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Deceiving your own selves. A lot of deception in the world. We just went through, 2.5 years of preparation for elections. We've had a lot of campaigning. Unfortunately, a lot of that campaigning dealt in deception. Things that were promised that were not going to be true. Unfortunately, that happens all the time. And because there is deception in the world, we would think, especially we as Bible believers, that we would prepare ourselves and beware of deception. And yet we find ourselves deceiving ourselves so many times. And I think that's what the text is talking about. We come to the Word of God and then we forget what we heard. We come to a meeting like this, we hear the Word of God, and then we walk out the doors and we forget about it and we begin to deceive ourselves. So in this message, I'm going to want to, somewhere in my message, I want to define what is deception. And also I would like to talk about some verses dealing with deception where the Word of God repeatedly warns us to beware of falsehood, to beware of false prophets. So we're warned many times in the Scriptures about these very things, and yet we somehow forget. And I think that's one of the reasons we gather so often, is so that we wouldn't forget, because we have that tendency to forget. I've written several things down, and thus my expansive notes here, because I did not want to forget them, and I thought they were important. So please bear with me. I will address my notes, because I think there's some important things here that I want to get across. One of the things we have about deception in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 13, Paul himself said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Unfortunately, it's not going to get better. Despite all the promises of the politicians, it's not going to get better. Paul prophesied some 2,000 years ago that it's going to get worse and worse. And the reason it's going to get worse and worse is because people are deceiving and being deceived. Have you ever been deceived? I've been deceived on too many times in my life. Yeah. One of the times, who is it that deceives us? Salesmen deceive us. Politicians deceive us. Lawyers deceive us. Religious people deceived us. And I think I've been deceived by all those categories. People are deceiving and they're being deceived. Has anybody ever knocked on your door? You thought when you opened the door, "Oh, I don't want to deal with this." But the next thing you know, you got a freezer standing in your new apartment there, and you don't have any idea how you got that freezer. Because they talked you in, they deceived you into thinking that you as a young couple needed a freezer. Yeah, have you ever been deceived? Ignorance causes deception. When we go out to buy a car, so easily to be deceived, especially me, because I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah? Of course, when I buy a car, I do what everybody else did, what I saw them do. I go over and I kick the tire. I don't know why, but I saw other people doing that. I figured I'm supposed to kick the tire. And then I open the passenger's door, and I crawl down underneath the wheel there, the steering wheel, and I look at the brake pedal. I don't know why I'm looking at the brake pedal, but I was told you're supposed to look at the brake pedal. I don't know why. Maybe, you know, if a brake pedal is worn, that would tell you that, you know, the car's been used quite a bit. I don't know, but I'm looking at the brake pedal. And I say, "Hey, can I look underneath the hood?" Heard that somewhere. And so they open up the hood and I'm looking. Don't know what I'm looking at, but I'm looking. And I heard some freight, a lot of horsepower under here, a little Pinto, and a lot of horsepower under there. I don't think that's necessarily true, but it sounds good, right? We think that we know what we're doing, and I like to grab that little stick, has oil on it, I pull it out, and I look at it, and wipe it off a little bit, and put it back in. Don't know what that does, but it's pretty impressive, right? And the next thing I know, I have a car that doesn't run well. Yeah. We get deceived. Unfortunately, people are not always honest. And as it says in this verse we just read, they're deceiving and being deceived. It reminds me of a joke, if I may tell it. A priest, a lawyer, and a doctor got together with their friend who was very wealthy. Very wealthy man, and he said, "Listen, I want to give you guys $100,000 each. You're my friends. However, This money comes with a condition that when I die, I want you to put it back in the coffin with me because I want to take it with me when I go to the other side. Of course, they all agreed, and sure enough, a year later, their friend dies, and they're all going to the funeral, and they're at a bar afterwards drinking. I don't know why they're at a bar, but that's where they were, and they're sitting around, they're drinking, and after a while, the priest says, "Friends, I can't bear it anymore. My conscience is bothering me. I have to confess. I didn't put the whole amount back in. Our friend gave us $100,000. I didn't put it all back in. I only put 50% in." And his friends looked at him. They looked at the priest. "How could you do that? You're a priest. You're supposed to be honest. How could you do that?" He says, "I know I'm guilty. Mea culpa. I apologize. I should have, but I didn't. I only put 50% in." Well, they continued drinking after a while. The doctor said, "You know what?" He said, you've convicted me. I feel bad. I have to confess. I didn't put everything back in. I only put 75% back in." "Oh, how could you do that?" they said, and the lawyer was berating them both. "How could you do that? Here you're a priest and you're an established doctor in the community. How could you do that? Our friend gave us his $100,000, and what is it? You only put 50% in and you only put 75% in." And they asked him, "Well, what about you?" He said, "I put the whole thing. I wrote a check for the full amount." Leave it to the lawyers. With my apologies to any lawyers we might have in here. There are ways to deceive. And deception abounds. I can remember as a boy, I was a paper boy. I delivered papers on a couple streets around our home. And I can remember people knocking on the door. And in Michigan, where I'm from, they have two doors. You have your winter storm door, and then you have your screen door. So both doors are used, and paper routes in Michigan, you just can't do it like you heard in Texas. You just throw them out in the yard. You had to go open the screen door, place the paper in between the two doors, and shut it. So it was a task in delivering papers. But these screen doors, they were aluminum, and they would tarnish over time, and they would get dirty, and so they're very hard to clean. One of the tasks as a boy you did not want to get was when Dad said, "Go wash the screen doors," because you're out there scrubbing for about 4 hours, and your arms are just worn out because they're very hard to clean. Well, there were some people coming through the neighborhood that had a little bottle, and they would knock on the door and said, "We got this, I don't know what they said, but exactly, but there, we got this, I don't know what they said. Yeah, we got, what do we call it? Help me with my story. We got this potion here that's going to clean your screen door in just a few minutes. And would you like to see an example?" And they said, "Sure." And so he would pour out a little of the potion onto the rag there, and he would just gently rub, and it was like magic. It was brilliant aluminum again. Wow. "Yeah, give me a couple bottles." Sold them, I don't know for how much, $5 back then probably, $5 a bottle. And then as I delivered the paper route, I could tell where that salesman had been, because there was this little round spot on all these screen doors. Well, then the next day, everybody was out, and they're out there scrubbing their screen doors. They'd paid $5-$10 for a couple bottles of this magic potion that was going to clean the screen door, but it wasn't working. Sold them bottles of water, I guess. I don't know. Deception. Why this individual wouldn't just sell the potion, because apparently it worked once, you'd think he could make a killing off it. But sold them something that did not work. Deception. People are easily deceived. Have you ever been deceived? The Bible says in this matter, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And another in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." You know, the advice from Scripture is we should not be gullible. We should not believe everybody. We should not believe people that that dress themselves up as religious people. You ought to beware of all people. It behooves you to prove the things that I'm speaking to you this morning with the scriptures. We all need a reliable compass that can guide us in the days that we're in darkness. And we have a reliable compass in the scriptures. Unfortunately, so many people ignore the scriptures, as our text says here. They're hearers only. They went and they heard the scriptures, but then they forget them, and they're not using the scriptures in their daily lives, and therefore they're more easily deceived. Now, let me just emphasize here, we're talking about a group of people that actually hear the scriptures. That would be you and I. Because a lot of people in the world, they don't gather on Sunday mornings to hear the word of God. So it appears to me that what the group that James is addressing are people that actually go and hear the word of God and then become forgetful. And how many times in the scriptures are we warned, beware of false prophets? I find it amazing that you and I were very wise. Have you ever gone to a grocery store? I know a lot of us men, we don't frequent the grocery stores very often. If you're like me, it's a rarity. But every once in a while, Janice will give me a list and I gotta go to the grocery store and go shopping. And like buying a car, I go to the tomatoes. I have no idea what I'm doing there, but she said she wants some tomatoes. I'm looking at all these tomatoes. They all look the same to me, but I'm watching the ladies that are shopping and they're squeezing the tomatoes. So I get me a couple tomatoes and I'm squeezing them, and then I look around. Now what do I do? I don't know. I put them in the bag, yeah? And so then when I get home, what happened to my tomato? Well, they're all squeezed. I squeezed them. Well, apparently they're testing, they're proving the tomato. Apparently, people that are experienced and know what they're doing, something about squeezing that tomato tells them something, whether it's a good tomato or not. I presume that if you squeeze it and nothing comes out, that would be a good tomato. Yeah? If you squeeze it and it starts bleeding, then you probably don't want to buy that tomato, I'm presuming. I've also heard things about, you know, they're knocking on the watermelon. You know, you go up there and you knock on a watermelon. Don't know why they do that. It does give a pretty weird sound, but you knock on a watermelon. Suppose, what are they doing? They're proving. Isn't it amazing that we're wise when it comes to buying tomatoes? Or buying watermelon, but when it comes to the things of this life, when it comes to the scriptures or the word of God, we're so easily deceived. I find it amazing. I probably told this story before. I'll repeat it. In Poland, it was when we were missionaries in Poland, it was a once a month trip. Every month we were receiving offerings from y'all, and it was a real blessing. Thank you. And we would go down to the bank in order to take money out with our debit card. We would take it out of our account here in the States, but it would automatically be transferred into zlotys. We would take it out, and then we would put it into our zloty account in Poland so that we could buy and sell things, or buy things at least. We'd have money in our account. And it so happened that we banked at Citibank. And Citibank was right downtown, right in front of where we preached every day. And at Citibank, as you walked into the door, there was an ATM machine. And then right in front of the ATM machine was the tellers. I mean, you'd have to walk through another door, but then there would be the tellers. And so once a month, go down, put the little card into the machine, punch in the numbers, and money would come out. Then we would take that money that came from the ATM machine that was owned by Citibank, and we would walk 3 feet, maybe four, through the door, up to the teller, and deposit the money. Do you get the picture? So get the money out, usually about 1,500 zlotys. Get the money out, walk over there with 1,500 zloty bills. Go to the teller and deposit. Every month this happened. Every month. Every month I took money out of that ATM machine, walked over to the teller. Every month that teller took that 100 zloty and began looking at every one of them. I said, "Ma'am, what are you doing?" She says, I'm seeing if these are fraudulent bills. because there's a lot of fraud in the world. I said, ma'am, I got that out of your machine. Are you telling me that your machine gives fraudulent bills? She says, oh, no, no, no. We check them before we put them in. I said, then why are you checking them again? Well, because they might be fraud. This one, you know, I have a good time just observing people, but that was, there's a lesson in there, and I had an opportunity to witness to that young lady, because after a couple of months of doing this, I said, ma'am, I see that you're very diligent in proving whether these 100 zloty bills are true or false. Have you done that with your priest or your minister or where you've gone to church? Have you put them to the test? Have you proved them? Because what comes out of the ATM machine may not be true when it gets to your desk. Yeah? Isn't it amazing that we're wise in the things of this world? We're diligent to prove the things in this world, but when it comes to religious matter, when it comes to matters of the heart and matters of eternity in the Word of God, we're so prone to be deceived. All right, I'm going to give you some verses. Let's just look at these very quickly because time is fleeting. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In other words, a deceiver does not come to you with a sign that says, I'm a deceiver, beware. A deceiver comes up dressed up like you. They want to appear like you. They want you to believe that they're the good guys. In other words, a deceiver is going to be as close to the truth as possible without being the truth. Do you get that? And there are so many people that have this concept in reverse. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm not going to come to church because the church is full of hypocrites? Here's what I wrote down concerning that. That is because of the fake, they beware of the true. Because of the fake, they don't want to believe the truth. I think they have that reversed. We really ought to reverse it. We ought to say, because truth exists, we ought to beware of the false. Do you see the difference? There is a difference there. So many people do not want to believe the truth because they saw the error and therefore they wrongly conclude that all is an error. That's a big mistake. There is truth out there. And once you find the truth, then beware of the false. And I've been around long enough that you know, I've been around Bible studies and training sessions and whatnot. You know, we don't need a lot of time, and I've made this mistake in my own life, and probably some of you have too. We don't need to spend a lot of time learning about the false.
That's right.
Get to know the truth, and you'll spot the false immediately. My father was a banker, and he gave me, when I was a young boy, I don't think they do, but back in his day, they counterfeited 50 cent pieces. I don't know why you would counterfeit a 50 cent piece now. I mean, it's just not worth it. You know, somebody counterfeiting a dollar bill, they're thinking you're a nut, but you know, generally they counterfeit $100 bills or larger denominations, but back then he had a 50 cent piece, and you know what you could do? You could bend it. It was really amazing. It was made out of lead. You could bend it. As a banker, he was trained not to identify the faults. They didn't spend their time looking at false 50-cent pieces or false dollar bills. They spent their time learning what a real dollar bill looks like. And then because they knew what a real 50-cent piece looked like or a real dollar bill looked like, they immediately recognized that which is false. Well, brethren, that ought to excite us to get into the Word of God and know the truth. Jesus said His Word is truth. He is Himself true. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We ought to get to know Jesus by knowing His Word, and then we will be able to identify immediately that which is false. He said, beware, Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You see, the devil spends a whole lot of time in church buildings, dressed up as a sheep. Second John in 1:7, he says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In other words, one that would deny Christ is an antichrist, but not just an antichrist, but he's a deceiver. Do you know anybody that denies Christ or tries to compare Christ with any other prophet? Christ is God in the flesh. He is the great I am. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Yeah? How many more warnings in the scriptures do we need to behoove us to beware? Because there's falsehood all around us. Right. Who is a deceiver? Jesus said in this manner, ye are of your father the devil. I can remember speaking to a couple of Mormons years ago in Mexico. They said, now, we're all in agreement, right? That we're all children of God. And I said, no, we're not in agreement. And his partner over there got his little briefcase out and began looking in his answer book, and he's looking around. No, we must be in agreement. They're all children of God. I said, no, we're not in agreement. We're not in agreement. We're not all the children of God. No, no, no. Everybody's a child of God. No. No. And the question arose, well, how can that be? Well, did you ever read the scriptures? Did you ever read what Jesus said? Maybe you ought to get your nose out of the Book of Mormon and put it in the scriptures and read what Jesus said. Jesus said this in John 8:44, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And if you read that whole context, Jesus had some pretty choice words to say. If God were your father, you'd listen to me. But it's obvious you're not listening to me, because God ain't your father. Your father's the devil. No, we're not all children of God. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. And many people, maybe some of you this morning, your father is not God Almighty in heaven. Your father is the devil. And you've believed a lie. And we're going to get that to that in just a moment. I appreciate your patience. I don't believe you need any more scriptures, because the scriptures are full of them. I don't know how you can get through any portion of the scriptures where you're not going to be finding some sort of statement about beware. Beware. Watch out. Be careful. Be warned. But our text says something different, or says something along those lines, because here we're worried about the devil. We're worried about false prophets. We're worried about outward people. Maybe we might even be worried about sin. Paul wrote it this way, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. So sin and the devil could be deceivers. They are deceivers. They deceive us. Other men are deceivers. Many of them around us, false prophets. Many of them are antichrists. They're deceivers. We need to beware. But our text this morning is not talking about the devil. It's not talking about the false prophets. It's not even really talking about sin. If we go back to our text in James, he says, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So who is the deceiver in this case? That would be you and I. And who is the person, who is the object of deception? That would be you and I. And self-deception is the worst type of deception. Would you not agree? We have met the enemy and he is us. All right, now I'm going to read some things. What is deception? What is it to mean? What does it mean to deceive or to have deceit? It's a concealment or distortion of the truth for the purpose of misleading. It's duplicity. It's delusion or deluding. It's fraud. It's cheating. As far as delusion goes, it's a fixed false belief that is resistant to reason or to confrontation with actual fact. In our context, it tells us several times, forgetting. We heard the truth, but then we forgot about it. So I wrote this down as a definition of deception or self-deception. A motivated desire to see the self and the world in ways that favor self. I think there is a saying that we have, we look through rose-colored glasses. We see things the way we want to see them, and not the way they really are. That is self-deception. We need to be careful. Further, let me continue. Self-deception. Self-deception is positive illusion. By that I mean we have a motivated false belief. We have selective attention, biased information search, and forgetting. In other words, we hear what we want to hear. I think Paul said it in one of his epistles. He said we have itching ears. We're not looking for the truth. We want to hear what mama says about us because mama says we're good. We don't want to hear what the teacher says because the teacher said we're bad, but mama says we're good. So we hear what mama says and we don't hear or we forget what the teacher says. In the context of scriptures, when we go to the scripture says we're all bad. All men are liars. All have sinned. And somehow after hearing that, we go away and we forget. And somehow we've deceived ourselves into thinking that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. And because I'm good, despite the fact we just heard that there's none good, no, not one. There's only one good, that being God. We heard that, but somehow we've forgotten. And that brings about self-deception. Because we have selective hearing. We hear only that which we want to hear. We have itching ears, is what Paul said. There's another portion of this. A motivated false belief that persists in spite of disconfirming evidence. In other words, the first one was, well, we don't have all the facts. We've just heard what we wanted to hear. Yeah? But now we've heard the facts. Now, we don't want to pay attention to the facts, and we deliberately ignore those facts. That's self-deception. Selective attention or knowledge avoidance, where disconfirming evidence is present, but ignored or discounted. We have deceived ourselves. We fool ourselves into believing things that are false, and we refuse to believe things that are true. I wrote, all men are liars, and there is no greater liar than the one who lies to himself. We don't have enough intestinal fortitude to admit the truth and deal with the consequences that will follow. We don't want to buy the truth. It costs too much. And so what do? We deceive ourselves. Self-deception. Self-deception. The inability to see one has a problem. Thinking you can't be deceived means you already are deceived. Deception, and this is how we deceive ourselves, we think that guy over there is the one is self-deceived, not me. And thereby deceiving yourself. It's always the other guy. It's the tragedy that's going to befall them and not me. They're going to die, not me. They're going to die, not me. They're going to have the accident, not me. That's self-deception. We're all going to die. It's appointed on men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do you remember that text I quoted in Thessalonians where Paul said, prove all things? Bill and I used to show some Moody Science films, and one of the films, this was years ago, one of the films was some World War II pilots that ended up crashing in Egypt. They overflew their target. And I don't remember where their target was. Maybe it was Iran or Iraq, somewhere was their target, and they overflew it, and they ran out of gas, ended up crashing in Egypt. Well, what happened? Well, as they were flying, their instruments were telling them, you know what, you ought to prepare the bomb doors because you're over your target. But the pilot, ignoring the instruments that had been proven and tested, going by his emotional experience, or his emotional experience, or his own feelings, his own perception, his perception told him, there's no way we can be over the target. We've gone way too, it's too early. We shouldn't be over the target for another 2.5 hours, or whatever the time was. I don't remember exactly. But it's too early. What they didn't realize at that time period was there were tailwinds. And those tailwinds would push a plane much faster than it could actually travel on its own power. And so thus, having flown in that tailwind, they were over the target at a much earlier time, which the instruments on his plane were telling him was true. You are over your target. You need to be dropping your bombs. But the pilot, instead of going by that established fact of his instruments, he ignored the instruments and went by his emotions or his feelings, and he kept on flying until the Bible says, prove all things. We have a reliable compass in the Word of God, the Scriptures. Let me tell you something. That compass is not your feelings. That compass is not your emotions. That compass is not your heart. Please allow me to read some of these. I know that time is flying. What is deception? It is the denial or refusing to believe something that is true, even though it is. Here's some thoughts. I don't have a problem with alcohol, even though I drink every day. Yeah? No problem with me. I'm not jealous, even though I check my partner's email every time I get a chance. Yeah? It's that self-denial. We're denying. In the Scripture, it says it this way. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Isn't it amazing? It's always the other guy that's the sinner and not us. Or somebody will come and say, I don't know if you've ever spoken, I've had people tell me that they don't sin. And, you know, the first thing I've always responded is, do you have your number to any family members? I'd like to talk to them and see, I'd like to verify these facts. Because I'm sure there's some family members that can point out some of the sins you've forgotten. Yeah? So self-deception, a lot of times, is about denial. Yeah? How many drug addicts deny that they got a drug problem? How many alcoholics deny that they have an alcoholic? How many sinners deny that they got a sin problem? Do I need to repeat that one? I didn't. Do alcoholics have a problem they do not recognize? Do drug addicts have a problem that do not recognize or they refuse to admit to? Well, it follows that you and I as sinners, we got problems with sin that we don't want to admit to. That's why the Bible tells us to confess our sins. The road to recovery with addiction, with alcoholism, with any disease, and with sin is the recognition that we have a problem. And self-deception always says, you're not the problem. Rationalization, creating a reason to excuse ourselves. I wouldn't have yelled at you if you hadn't treated me so unfairly, thereby justifying our yelling. I know smoking isn't good for my health, but it helps me relax, thereby justifying our smoking. The Scriptures put it this way. Jesus said, ye are they which justify themselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. We as sinners have a problem that we always want to justify ourselves. That is self-deception. We are forgetful hearers of the word and not doers. There is projection. Taking an undesirable aspect of ourselves and ascribing it to someone else. That's what he does. And when you hear the preaching, yeah, he needs that. Yeah. That's for somebody else, not for us. If you've done any amount of debating, this happens all the time. They accuse you of what they are guilty of. Jesus said this way, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how will you say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. This is a problem that is prevalent in the churches of God. We are so prone to find the mote in other people's lives that we can't see the beam in our own eyes. That, my friends, is self-deception. Do you agree? So easy to find the problem in somebody else's life, and so difficult to find the problem in our own life. You can tell I had to look up some words, but I wrote them down anyway. Cognitive distortion. That means the irrational ways that we think. It comes in various forms. Polarized thinking. I'll either eat no cookies or the entire box. And so we eat one cookie and then we rationalize, well, I've already ate one. My diet's gone to pot. I'll just go ahead and eat the whole box. That's not rational. How does it work in the life of a Christian? Well, I sinned once. I missed last Sunday. I didn't go to church last Sunday, so well, I'll just not go anymore. Well, I forgot to read my Bible this morning, so I'll just not read my Bible at all. I didn't pray yesterday, so I'll just not pray. This is self-deception. It's polarized thinking. Emotional reasoning. Thinking that our feelings accurately reflect reality. I feel hurt, so you must have done something bad to me. Well, the scripture says it this way. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You better not trust your heart. It will deceive you. Well, how many young ladies got themselves in trouble with this particular problem? Emotionalism. And they've done things that they regret now because they were self-deceived. Time is fleeting. Overgeneralization. Taking a single negative event as an infinite spiral of defeat. After being denied a promotion, you think, I'm never going to be successful. Or after you fall into the sin, I'm never going to get up. Well, that's a lie right out of hell. A just man falls 7 times and gets up 7 times. Hey, we just had a great message this morning about a resurrection. We have the God of the resurrection. So it doesn't matter if you get thrown into the tomb, you can get out by the power of Christ. So there is some deception. We are getting over time period. All right, let's hurry. Crank up your ears so you can listen faster. And I will speak a little bit faster and see if we can do it. Other ways that we lie to ourselves. I said that I wrote these down because I did not want to forget. I'm this way because of my upbringing, thereby deferring responsibility for my choice. That is self-deception. I just can't help myself. This is the way that I was born. This is the way I was brought up. It's not true. People have changed their lives all the time. And much more by the fact that Jesus has the power to change lives and has changed lives. That is a lie that you tell yourself. You are deceiving yourselves when you blame your upbringing. I don't care if you had the worst father on the planet. You got a great father right now. I don't care what kind of difficulties you had as a childhood. You may have been brought up in a terrible family atmosphere. May be true. I was brought up in a terrible family atmosphere. But by the grace of God, here am I. Do not deceive yourself by blaming your upbringing. You have responsibilities for your present choices. Tragedy, I've mentioned this, I'll repeat it. Tragedies will never happen to me. I'm special and uniquely protected from harm. The only one's going to hit a deer, them other guys. I'm not going to hit a deer. And then I hit a deer. I'm not going to get cancer. That's for other guys. I'm not going to get corona. That's for them other people. Yeah? I'm not going to die. I'm too young to die. I don't need to write a will. I'm young. I'm going to live forever. That is self-deception. Obadiah said it this way. The pride of thine heart had deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, and saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? You better watch out. God Almighty will bring you down to the ground. There are some realities in life. You know what? You're going to die. Did you know that? I know you're looking at grandma over there and you're saying, yeah, she's going to die. And you're looking at grandpa over here. Yeah, he's going to die. Maybe you're looking up here and say, yeah, you're going to die. You think you're too young to die. It's appointed unto men, all men to die. You're going to die. Did you know young people die? Did you know little infants die? Did you know 12-year-old children die? Did you know 16-year-old children die? Did you know 21-year-olds die? Did you know 25-year-olds die? Did you know all classes of men and women, they die? It is self-deception to think that you're not going to die. So if you're going to die, don't you think you ought to prepare for eternity? Amen. And self-deception tells you that you don't have to prepare for eternity, even though you know you're going to die. Be not deceived. We're culturally conditioned by tradition to believe something is true instead of comparing to an impartial gauge of the truth such as the scriptures. Well, everybody in my family does it this way. Well, you know, it's very possible that everybody in your family is wrong. Well, we've always done it this way. Well, is it very possible that that way that you've always done it is wrong? The doctors that treated our first president, Washington. Well, we've always bled people, so let's just bleed him again. We've always done it this way. Let's go ahead and take the blood out. Everybody else is doing it. How about the great plague of 1918, where thousands upon thousands of people died from aspirin overdose? Hey, we got this new miracle drug, aspirin. It worked before. Let's give it to them. And they overdosed on aspirin. What? Everybody else is doing it. It worked before. Refusing to repent even though we are miserable. Reminds me of Saul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You know you're not happy. You know you're empty. You know something's missing. You know it's God, but you're running from God. And you refuse to repent. That's self-deception. All right, we're winding down to the end. I appreciate your patience. We need to be self-aware, looking at ourselves from a proper perspective. And that perspective was given to us in our text in James. We did the right thing in going to hear the Word of God. That is the right thing to do. Because you can get perspective. Do you know mirrors don't lie? They give you a real perspective on life. They tell you about, well, I'm not going to tell you what you see because you see it. They tell you exactly what you look like. But you walk away and forget what that mirror tells you, then you can make up anything you want. Because you're no longer seeing your face. And you get away from the Word of God, you can paint any type of picture of yourself. And people don't want to come around the Word of God. You know why? Because the Word of God doesn't lie. People prefer, and this is self-deception, painting themselves in the way they want to appear instead of the way they do appear. Under that note, we deceptively forget how bad we really are. One of the things we've done in our evangelism, we spent a lot of time preaching on the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments are a great compass to tell you where you stand before God. And all the time we hear people, well, I'm not that bad, I haven't killed anybody. So you recognize you shouldn't kill, right? Yeah, you shouldn't kill. All right, well, how about hating people? Have you ever hated people? Well, yeah, of course. I hate this person. I hate that person. I hate you. Well, you know, in the Bible, it talks about that that's murder in your heart. Well, I've been faithful to my wife all the time. Well, Jesus said, if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. Have you ever done that? Yeah. We can get some real perspective on how righteous we are or we aren't when we come to the Word of God. But if we forget the Word of God, if we walk away and are hearers only of the Word of God and not doers of the Word of God, then we can become anything we want to be and aren't. Now the other perspective, I've heard it from the other side. We deceptively forget how forgiven we are in Christ. How many young believers have gotten themselves in a twist and in danger because they've convinced themselves there's no way they can be saved because they're too bad? As if there's no power in the blood of Christ. They forgot about there's power in the blood. They forgot about these old songs we've been singing, yeah? About the redemptive power of Christ. They forgot about the cross. And somehow they convince themselves that they can be lost and saved and lost and saved and lost and saved. They deceive themselves. God doesn't change.
That's right.
And God doesn't lie.
Amen.
You cannot become an un-son of God.
That's right.
All right. I crank them up. I want to finish. I know you want me to finish too. What does this say about me? That's you. What does it say about you? What does it say about me? Not the person next to you, but what does it say about me? Have I been deceiving myself? Probably so. We need some reflection from the Word of God. When what you say doesn't match what you or how you act, what do you need to do? Repent. When you have irrational thoughts that contradict the known facts of the Scriptures, what do you need to do? Repent. Not changing when confronted with the truth is a choice. It's a bad choice. Repent.
Amen.
Although we can't control many circumstances that we encounter in this life, we are responsible for our reactions to all of them. How are you reacting to the difficulties in life? Thank you, Brother Stephen. How are you reacting to those? What is your reaction? Don't look somewhere else. Look on yourself. What are you doing in the light of God's Word? How are you reacting? Are you reacting properly? Have you come to the place to actually believe God? Maybe some of these difficulties are good for me. Repent. And lastly, the one that we don't want to hear, but is so true, confronting our self-deception is a lifelong battle.
Amen.
We want it one and done. We want microwave perfection. You know, let me punch it in there. I don't even want to punch the seconds. I want that instant button. I want that speed dial. They always call me, "What's your wife's phone number?" Speed dial one. That's what we want. I want this battle to be over. I want to punch it in. The Lord is patient. He's eternal. He's got all the time in the world. All right, I'm going to close with this verse. You might want to read it with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called of God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who will now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power of and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I want to conclude with this morning, that do not be deceived. If you go on with your self-deception, there's going to come a day when God's going to say, okay, go ahead, believe the lie. But judgment's coming. We need to be ever ready to receive the truth and to act upon it. And that's what our text says. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word, so that you will not be deceiving yourself. All right. You heard the word. Are you going to be a doer of the word? Are you saved this morning? Have you looked at the scriptures and what the scripture says about your condition? That you are a sinner? That there's none good but one, that's God? You can't earn heaven? You deserve an eternal hell. That's what you deserve. It's only the mercy of God that you're not in hell right now. And so he reaches out his hands and he calls to you through the scriptures, through the gospel, and he says, come unto me. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved this morning by calling upon the name of the Lord. Do not deceive yourself. You cannot be saved without Christ. It's not religion that saves. It's not baptism that saves. It's certainly not your good works. It's only Christ. And what you are lacking and that which you kick against is Christ. You need to submit to Christ. Now, I look around a lot of faces. I've heard your testimonies. I know that you're saved. I know that you've been born again. I've heard your testimony. Praise God. What a blessing to be gathered together with believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something, my brother, my sister. Have you been deceiving yourself? And if you have an answer that says, not really, then you've been deceiving yourself. As I mentioned, it's a lifelong battle. It's a daily battle. We have to fight against it. Let's all be doers of the word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray.